Grace and peace to you from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We continue our sermon series through Romans today. This morning, Romans chapter 12, just verses 1 and 2. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, make us holy in the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Please be seated. Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. That, of course, is the last verse of that great hymn, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross." The reason it strikes me for today is that it speaks on the one hand of the amazing love of God in the cross of Christ Jesus, as well as our response to that love. My life, my all. There is God's love for us and there is our response. As we work our way through the book of Romans, today we come to a new section in that book in the last few chapters, where the focus shifts and it does become much more on the lives we are called to live as Christian people. And so you have a hinge in these verses between what's come before and what comes next. This morning we'll look at three things in these verses. First, the Christian life and its source. Second, the Christian life as sacrifice. And then finally, the Christian life and how it is shaped. The source, the sacrifice, and the shape. The first is the source. There's one little word in this first verse that's important not to miss. It's the word therefore. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters. And some of you may have had a teacher or someone else tell you that whenever you see a therefore, make sure you ask what it's there for. I've found that fairly helpful, actually, in reading the scriptures over the years. So what's this therefore, therefore? It's there because as St. Paul comes to talk about the Christian life we are to live, he wants to connect it with everything that he said so far in his letter. He's not appealing for a certain kind of life out of thin air. He's appealing on a particular basis, from a source. The source is what's described in the first 11 chapters of his letter. That we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That we're justified freely by grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. That we have peace with God. That we've been baptized into his death and resurrection, brought from death to life. Set free from slavery to sin. That there is no condemnation for you in Christ Jesus. That the Spirit dwells in you and helps you in your weakness. That you have the promise, the glorious hope of the redemption of your body. That you've been predestined, called, justified, and glorified. That nothing in all creation can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And we could go on. This is the source. This is the basis for the life we are called to. And Paul summarizes all of it with one word today. Mercy. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God. The mercy of God to you and for you. This is the source of your Christian life. This is the motivation. This is the enabling dynamic. And this is why we don't just walk up to non-Christians with Christian teaching on the Christian life and expect them to simply receive it. If you are not connected to the source, continually receiving the mercy of God, you cannot hear, receive, and live this life. It's impossible. And it's also why when we ourselves struggle to live this life we're called to, we don't first focus on ourselves, but we look to the mercy of God to enable, to empower this life. In my backyard at the moment, I have some dwarf fruit trees. And I'm thinking about moving them to another location in the yard. And so as people of my generation do to figure this out, I looked it up on YouTube to watch some videos. And I'm watching and how they get all the water in and get this so far out from the base and dig down nice and deep and all this sort of thing. But what amazed me as I watched the videos, as it always does when it comes to trees, is the root system. That when this peach tree of mine bears fruit above ground, it's only because there is this extensive root system down deep. Now, in this last part of his letter, Paul is going to speak about the sort of fruit Christian people are called to bear. But first, he says that to bear that fruit, the roots need to be sunk deep into the mercy of God. That's the source. Then there's the Christian life as a sacrifice. The appeal he's making is to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable or pleasing to God, which is your spiritual worship. So remember, this is looking at the Christian life not so much in the small details, but in the big picture. Our Christian life is made up of a thousand different attitudes and thoughts and actions and decisions, but this is about not missing the forest for the trees. The big picture of your Christian life is that the whole thing is to be presented to God as a sacrifice. A sacrifice which is holy and pleasing. A sacrifice which is an act of worship or service to God. What a powerful picture that is of the Christian life. Let's notice a few details about it. First, that it's a living sacrifice. In the Old Testament, of course, the people of God were called to bring sacrifices, to bring animals to be sacrificed on the altar. But all of those sacrifices pointed forward to Jesus, who offered up his life as the once-for-all sacrifice for sin. That's why the sacrifice we are now called to bring is not dead, but is living. You've been brought from death to life. It's a living sacrifice. Next, notice the emphasis here on the body. To present your body as a living sacrifice. Not just an offering of your soul or your spirit or your heart, but the presentation of your body. It's very strange, you know. Many of us have grown up hearing talk about giving your heart to Jesus. But you're hard-pressed to find too many Bible verses that speak like that. And yet I've never heard anyone at a camp or a rally or a crusade say, "Okay, now, who's ready to give their body to Jesus?" And yet that's much more how the scriptures speak. Because the reality is that we're not just hearts or minds or souls or spirits. We are embodied people. We live a life in the body. And that includes everything else. And one of our deep problems in this is that we like to think that my body belongs to me, thank you very much, and I'll do whatever I want with it. Whereas the very simple truth of the matter is that your body is not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. And notice here too that this living sacrifice of our body is holy and acceptable, or perhaps better, pleasing to God. Pleasing to God, this offering. Now, after the way that Paul has spoken in the previous chapters about the reality of sin in our bodies, this is quite striking that he says we now offer our bodies to God and it's pleasing to him. And it's true that when it comes to those outside of Christ, when it comes to our justification before God, there is nothing of any value you can ever offer God. But something changes. For those who are in Christ, for those who are justified, the offering of your body to God, your whole life, is pleasing to him. Now, all of this reminds me of something very simple that I try to do in the morning, where I begin my day, as Luther counsels, by making the sign of the cross on my body. I remember, God, you gave me this body. You redeemed it on the cross. You washed it clean in my baptism. Now I offer this body to you in your service. And then, as I pray Luther's morning prayer, these words come up. Keep me this day too from all sin and evil, so that in my thoughts, words, and deeds I may please you. Now, Luther knew profoundly his own sin and need for grace, but he could also say, as a redeemed child of God, that his life in the body each day was to be pleasing to God. This is our Christian life as sacrifice. So there was the source and the mercy of God, then the sacrifice, and finally there's the shape, or better, how this life is shaped. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. As you present your bodies to God, something happens. The Christian life is not static. There is progress, there is change. In Christ, God does accept us as we are, but he does not leave us as we are. He wants to transform us, to bring about a metamorphosis in us. Now, from Titus chapter 3, we learn that this transformation and renewal begins in our baptism, where we hear this same renewal word, but we hear it as the washing and renewal of the Holy Spirit. But then in these verses we learn that this continues every day, every week of our life, as the Spirit through his word in the life of the church renews our minds and transforms us. And don't we need it? Because the opposite is to be conformed to this world. That's what Paul says will happen if we let it, if things go unchecked. That's the default. We don't live in spiritually neutral territory. Left on our own, we will be shaped and moulded and fashioned into the mould of this world, into attitudes and ways of speaking and behaving and thinking of a world opposed to God, a world which focuses us in on ourselves. Instead, God wants to transform us into something different, into the people he wants us to be. Now, for all of us today in our society, the pressure to be conformed to this world is so intense, isn't it? You think, for example, of the whole area of God's gift of sexuality and marriage, including the current debates we're all well aware of. Everything around us is trying to conform us into certain ways of thinking about these things, the core of which seems to be a way of thinking which says that I'm the boss and we can make of it whatever we like. But instead, God wants to give us a different way of thinking. A spirit-transformed, scripture-shaped, renewed mind, which is then able to be discerning about what the will of God is. At one of our men's breakfasts earlier this year, we interviewed a Lutheran pastor from Latvia, some of you know, who grew up in Soviet times as an atheist, more or less. And one of the striking things he spoke about is when he came to faith as an adult, the massive shift that occurred in his whole way of seeing the world. His whole way of thinking was changed, he said. His worldview was transformed. This didn't happen overnight, by the way. It was over a process of months and even years where he met regularly with a pastor to study the Bible, discuss spiritual things and Lutheran theology. But this was God at work, transforming through the renewal of his mind. And this is what he does for each of us. Now, I want to try and draw these threads together with a little illustration, which builds on one that Pastor Fraser used when we were back in Romans 6 and 7. It's the picture of a slave. So imagine a slave working in a household. He has this servile mindset, only doing what needs to be done, working out of fear, a bit of hostility with the master, unspoken though it is, all that sort of thing. And then out of pure love and mercy, someone comes along and redeems that slave, gives him his freedom. Now here's the new part of the story for today. The slave now is so thankful to this person, and through this act of love and mercy, he sees that this could be a good master. So he uses his freedom to offer his life to this new master, to present his body, if you like, to his service. And so he begins a new life in this master's house. Now, externally, it looks fairly similar to what his life was like before. But inside, something very different is going on. Because now when this new master speaks and teaches, this servant is listening. The servant is taking it in. The servant is allowing himself to be shaped by the master's words, to be shaped by the character of the master. He's being transformed as he lives and serves in this house. He offered himself freely, but then his mind began to be renewed. And he sees all of life now very differently. This is us in God's service, being transformed by the renewal of our minds. So there was the source, the sacrifice, and the shaping of our Christian life. As we close, let's hear once more today this word of God for us in the particular situations of your life. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to Him, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is holy and acceptable and perfect. God grant it to us for Jesus' sake. Amen. Please stand. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.